Blog Talk Radio. Assalamu alaikum. Happy Savior's Day 2022. Welcome to Elevated Places Network. And tonight we present Ask Minister Ava with myself, your sister, Ava Muhammad, and my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. In place of our executive producer tonight and making sure that this program happens is our beloved sister, Donna Muhammad. And also joining us, who will be coming on briefly for our weekly legal contribution, is sister attorney, Pamela Muhammad. All of us welcome you to blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And if you are desirous of calling in, and of course, we are already filling up the board, as we always do, completely, it will be completely full very shortly. But if you want to listen to the program old school by telephone, or if you wish to weigh into the conversation, then call us at 563-999-3065. That's 563-999-3065. And, of course, we are drawing near to that moment that we have all been waiting for, and that is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, his message, the Swan Song, February the 27th, that will take place at 1 o'clock p.m. He will speak to us and to the world live from Mosque Mariam in Chicago. And we want you to make sure you do not miss this message. It will be broadcast live on NOI.org. That's NOI.org. Make sure that you let all of your friends and family and everyone you care about know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be speaking. The last time he gave a live message in person was in Detroit, Michigan at Savior's Day 2020, where he delivered the declaration, the declaratory message, the unraveling of a great nation. And oh my God, has it been unraveling, beginning 2 weeks later after that speech in March of 2020, COVID-19. And so make sure that you don't miss that message. In the meantime, make sure you are getting your Final Call newspaper. If you don't see the brothers on the street with the Final Call newspaper in your area, then it's very simple. Go to finalcalldigital.com. Everyone should have a subscription. It's only $4.99 a month, and it is so beautiful online. You can look at it in your phone, your laptop, your iPad, whatever digital device you want to use, and you will have it with you. But finalcalldigital.com is how you subscribe to the digital edition. I have in front of me my paper copy, and I also get these digital because I utilize them in different ways. But I'm old school, and there's nothing like the feel of books and newspapers to me. And I'm so happy. See, Brother Terrence, the Elevated Places program, we're always, as you always say, what is that? Breaking news, okay? We're the place for the breaking news. And I think that last week we devoted the entire program to the lawsuit filed against the NFL by Brian Flores, right? The former Miami head coach. And it has turned the NFL on its head, but of course they're doing everything they can to keep it a little bit in the shadows as we are in the week of their glory day, which is Sunday, the Super Bowl, even though I will be watching hurtfully because the Kansas City Chiefs will be at home like me. But getting back to more serious points, yes, there's a beautiful picture of Coach Flores, and the Final Call entitled it "Super" with the question mark, "Super Sham" with the S and a dollar sign on sham, because remember one of his allegations is that the owner of the Miami Dolphins wanted him to take $100,000 for each game that he lost. And, you know, if you give thought to this, listeners, this is nothing lightweight because the NFL is a super powerful, it's a behemoth that has incredible power in this society. And I've always told the research group and the council, you know, if you want to know what's going to happen next in this pandemic, watch the NFL. Because the NFL never stopped moving for a moment during this pandemic. They never canceled a game. They never postponed a game. They went right ahead business as usual. And interestingly enough, a couple of weeks ago, the NFL brought a complete end to COVID testing. All right. Now, why did they do that? I'll tell you why they did that. Because do you know what a disaster it would be if one of the superstar players tested positive for COVID this week? What if Odell Beckham Jr., the wide superstar wide receiver, that brother is awesome, for the Los Angeles Rams. Oh, he can't play Sunday. He tested positive. What if the great white hope, Joe Burrow, the young quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals, couldn't play Sunday? This Come is on. An entity with a $110 billion media package.
Right.
Listen to what I said.
Just the
Not
media its package.
Net worth overall. They just entered into a $110 billion media package for this year because their year starts and ends with the Super Bowl. Not the usual calendar, not the calendar that we follow, January to December, theirs is at the end of the Super Bowl. And as they close out, the media package they've entered into with all of the outlets from ABC, NBC, CBS, Amazon, they've even got the little babies. They're on Nickelodeon now, okay? And so if it comes to pass that what Brian Flores says is true, he, as the head coach of an NFL team, was offered $100,000 to throw the game, basically, and would get $100,000 per game, then you know, first of all, that's not the only incident of that. Okay? What that's going to lead to is a practice. And this is a practice that will completely destroy the integrity of the game. And all
That's
of the,
right.
the overwhelmingly white fan base, overwhelmingly white fan base, okay, that spends all kinds of money, everything from tickets to games. The cheapest seat left in the nosebleed section for the Super Bowl is $7,000. But you can get a seat on the VIP level. That's not up in the suites. That's on the VIP level. You can get a ticket there for $75,000. And most of our people don't make that in a year. Okay. This is the gap that we're talking about. But I don't want to go too long and too far because. Brother Terrence and Sister Pamela gave us the most beautiful subject matter we could have this year, and that is the immeasurable impact and love of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. That's what we're going to talk about tonight as we head into Savior's Day, the immeasurable impact and love of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So to take us further into the program, my one and only co-host, Brother Terrence. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I would say this, Dr. Ava, you know, I've been blessed by Allah, and thanks to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I've been blessed to stand behind one of the many rostrums that are his in the Nation of Islam. And when I have approached one of those rostrums, particularly in my city, I always, regardless if I can talk at a drop of a dime, any conversation, any panels, any Zooms, any hosting, that's, you know, I can just do that. But whenever I approach the rostrum in our city, I approach it with nervousness, you know, and very much, you know, just my heart's pounding because you're delivering the word of God. And this particular show tonight, I really need people to say, okay, everybody can't call in, but y'all need to have people, you know, you need to start tweeting. I thank those that do tweet. Sister Georgina, I thank you. I see you on Facebook. I need y'all to tweet. I need y'all to share tonight's show because we're going to do something special tonight. We're going to start with the host, and we're going to talk about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And like I said, this immeasurable love, you know, it's just something about his love and impact that he has had on our personal lives, but not only our personal lives, but throughout the world. So we really, really need you all to tune in. We really need you all to lock in tonight and really, really pay attention. So let me get through this piece so that we can really go ahead and get to that after we hear from our sister Pamela, who we are really, really thankful because it was her thought that she reached out and me and her had a conversation about what we should bless this wonderful, wonderful, consistent audience that we have here. And we need to get new people on here. But we want to always say, continue to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and as Sister Dr. Ava said, the unraveling of a great nation from 2020, right before the pandemic hit, and then July 4th, 2020, the criterion. And it's very powerful, Dr. Ava, that, you know, the unraveling and then the criterion, two monumental address in the same year by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that need to be looked at, need to be studied, because everything that he said in those lectures, we saw the unraveling right after 2020. We saw the unraveling January 6th, and we are seeing the pestilence from heaven and all that is doing throughout the world. And we got guidance, clear guidance and instructions from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, July 4th, 2020, in the criterion. And now Savior's Day, the whole world should stop on February 27th, stop what you're doing and hear the message from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, 1 p.m. Central, at NOI.org. So with that, I also want to just say that, you know, we want you to go to MinisterAva.com, because as you can go to NOI.org and learn about the things that you need to take, the supplements and the vitamins and books 1 and 2 of How to Eat to Live, the proper food, the proper diet, the proper time to eat the food to boost your immune system. And it is also in the special edition of the Final Call newspaper, the COVID section, where you can learn so much more. But we want to make sure that you have the teachings of the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad on how to eat to live to boost your immune. So go to NOI.org and get all this rich information. But I also wanted to share with you MinisterAva.com. I had to go back myself, and I wanted to just highlight, Dr. Ava, for everyone that didn't know. When you go to MinisterAva.com, you can learn about the e-books, A New Way of Life. A New Way of Life, it seemed like she wrote this book for this day, because we're living a new way of life. This is not the same life that we've been living, but she wrote a book early on about a new way of life and how we need, and it says it's important to begin to look at ourselves, and no matter who we think is at fault for how we got here, we're in this condition. And we must agree that the condition of black people is one in need of improvement. So how are you going to get out of it? That's one of the questions in that book. And it's an e-book. And I'm bringing this up because we have to form a new way of life. And we can't worry about it. So, and if you're worried about it and you're burnt out over this, she has another e-book, Can a Muslim Worry and Overcome Burnout? And we need that, looking at the mental condition that we are suffering in our communities. And we have to learn how to direct our will, our thoughts, our words to get the life out in order. So that's a book she got, Directing Your Will, Thoughts, and Words to Get Your Life in Order, another e-book. And I'm just going through it. And tonight we're going to talk about real love. Not just the romance, but we're going to talk about real love. You can get that ebook as well. But we're going to talk about real love, the real love from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And there's so many more because the season of separation, How to Escape Time, is right now. That's another ebook that you can get at MinisterAva.com. And I'm only saying this because as we're supplementing our immune system on the physical side, what are we doing for our spiritual immune? That's why we take the first dose, the criterion, into our system, words from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we add MinisterAva.com to that list of supplements for our spiritual and mental diet so that we can boost our immune, because your physical is starting to be strong based off your mental and your spiritual. So with that, we can come back on Wednesday and Friday to learn more at NOI.org at 7:30 p.m. And this Sunday, we can hear more teachings at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern at NOI.org, Life-Giving Teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, taught today by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I quickly wanted to do a couple of updates, Dr. Ava, and get right up off of it. I love my brother Jim Jones, the artist Dipset. I love my brother. But there is a discussion. You know, I just say I love him. I can't say but because that negates. I love my brother Jim Jones. I know that we just got to give guidance because Jim Jones went on IG, Instagram Live, and talking about on social media about Gucci, how he said he was in the VIP section of Gucci and nobody came bring him no sparkling water. Nobody gave him any attention. He said he had been there for an hour, and somebody said, oh, no, 2 hours. And he said that nobody came to service them while they was in there buying up clothes. And he said he had $29,000 worth of whatever getting ready to buy, but he waiting for somebody to service them. And I'm like, Jim, I love you, Jim. But why are we waiting for somebody to show us love, to show us service, and upset that we in here spending money and nobody has come to us? They sent a black manager. He talked bad about him. But it shows that we're still going to where places that we have been, it has been proven we are not wanted, and spending lots of money with them. So I say that because I say I love my brother Jim Jones. He's met the minister. I just implore not Jim Jones, but all of us that are shopping with those that don't want our dollars, don't want our time, to stop supporting those that don't have no love for us. Then I want to go Snoop Dogg. Shout out to Snoop Dogg, who built up the brand Death Row Records, just recently acquired the Death Row brand. He's dropping an album back on Death Row on tomorrow. And I just say that because he's now getting some of the – he's also in the contract getting the ownership of some of his music and others on that label to put back out. But it just showed that our brother came from nothing, came up, and that he's taking ownership of what we knew as that former Death Row. Hopefully they'd be on life row, but I don't know. But Snoop Dogg, big ups to you. And I just bring Snoop Dogg because he is a lover of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Also, shout out to all of the students in Minnesota that did those student walkout for Amir Locke, who got killed and was murdered. Home invasion again, the no-knock warrant, and he got killed. That's still in the news, and people are still rallying around Amir Locke. So we want to show support, and I know our sister Pam may have some more information on that. And I also will close out who we're going to talk about tonight. So stay locked in. We're going to talk about this immeasurable love and impact of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because there's a recording out of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan praying for the mother of our brother Tyrese. We used to know him from the Pepsi commercial back in the day, where he blew up to be a song singer and a movie star. But the fact that the minister, when we and our people call, he is there to give a prayer of consolement and strength, and that whatever, and it's beautiful how the minister prays, whatever Allah wills, that's what we want. Whether outcome is that which we may want or not, it's what Allah wills. But he prayed for her health and her strength. And we thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for his consistency demonstrated for the love of our people. Back to you, Dr. Ava.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful opening and words of guidance. And this is going to be a delightful evening, and I'm about to bring into the mic my dear colleague, sister, friend, and attorney, Sister Pamela Muhammad. I do want to remind everyone that Tuesday, the 15th, I will be conducting a master class, Keep Your Head Above Water, How to Protect Your Peace. P-E-A-C-E. And that class is one night only. It's open to men and women, and that will be this upcoming Tuesday, the 15th of February, 6:30 to 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 to 7:30 Central Time. So if you go to MinisterAva.com, you can get all the information and register for that class. And so with that, I want to bring into the discussion. Yes, sir.
No. I did mean to say that the master class, and for all those haters on the male side, all those haters that was upset that the sisters had their master's class and you couldn't and we couldn't get in, this is that opportunity. She said open to men and women. I just want to make sure y'all heard that. Open to men and women, so it's not closed to the brothers. So the brothers that wanted to come, all those times we had to suffer and just watch those powerful topics that Dr. Ava was talking in the master's class, now it's open to the brothers. So don't be left out on this Tuesday. It's open to men and women this Tuesday, February the 15th. I just want to be very clear. It's men and women this time. This year's starting off different.
That's right. Yes, sir. Thank you, beloved. And, okay, with that, we're going to bring in our sister, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, who, of course, hosts her own program on Elevated Places Network, A Time for Justice. And my God, is it a time for justice. And we are so glad you're with us tonight and will be with the panel throughout this discussion. And thank you for bringing this idea, because this is, I feel so good about doing this, because you know when you're doing what you should be doing.
Yes, ma'am.
And when you want to do what you're supposed to do, then everything goes into alignment, and that's where peace and happiness comes from. So welcome. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Pamela.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Minister Ava, and assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Terrence. How are you, sir?
Wa alaikum salam. Great, by his grace.
Praise be to Allah. Right. Yes, ma'am. Sister Ava, all praises are due to Allah, and I thank you for allowing me a couple of words on your show, as well as mentioning our show, A Time for Justice, on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And Brother Terrence, as you... Yes, ma'am. And Brother Terrence, as you brought up the case of Amir Locke, you know, I just thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for his immeasurable love and impact, because his teachings have helped me to be the lawyer that I am and to see law from a perspective, you know, based upon some of the things that he has taught us with these teachings. So I'm forever thankful, because as we look at this case of where the no-knock warrant resulted in the death of our young brother Amir Locke, when the police just, you know, busted into his home, broke into his home, I think, like you say, we have to show him support and recognize some of the connections and history on this as well. Now, this Amir Locke, as we know, was murdered on February the 2nd, and this warrant was issued. They executed the warrant at 7 a.m., and that means they just really entered his home without any warning, without any consent. And the young brother, as we know, was asleep on the couch. And this is what is known as a no-knock warrant. And it's really a violation, in my opinion, of the Fourth Amendment, because people are supposed to be safe in their homes from what is unreasonable searches and seizures. And, you know, we see with these warrants, they create chaos and raise the need for protection, because this young man, at seeing people busting in his home, of course, you know, he's going to try to protect himself. But as we see, this was a militaristic use of force, an abuse of authority, and it really reminds me of the battering rams. And that's something that I wanted to bring up, because as we know, back in the 1980s, 1985 to be precise, there was a practice in California especially, where these battering rams were used, and, you know, to bust in people's homes. And this was all under the guise of the war on drugs. And, you know, there's a law review article on this where crack in Los Angeles, crisis, militarization, and the black response. And this particular article talks about how the police used this battering ram to break into a home where they found people eating ice cream. You know, two women and three children eating ice cream as the SWAT uncovered some little illicit drugs, negligible quantities of illicit drugs. And so just as we saw then, how these battering rams were used to incarcerate. Today, we're seeing it result in the death of our people, just the outright murdering of people when the police break into their homes. And I just wanted to say, I saw on the news today that the police, they had a choice in the matter as to whether or not to execute a regular warrant or to use this no-knock warrant. And we see what they chose, because a regular warrant really would have served the purpose, because according to the news, they were looking for some blood-stained clothing, you know, and they were maybe looking for some electronic devices, you know, some evidence of a crime. And so a young man ends up murdered for some evidence that could have been procured in another way. You know, this could have waited to another day. But again, this is what we see when the black life is devalued, and it's just really part of a genocidal plot. So those were the issues I wanted to bring up about our brother, because, like I say, it definitely reminds us of the battering rams of the 1980s, and it was normalizing these practices of government just breaking into homes. And so now this is what we see today. And so, you know, I do pray for the family, and I do want to show the support for this young man's family, like you mentioned, Brother Terrence. So that's what I wanted to, just do an update on that case that I'm sure many of us have seen, the murder of our young brother, Amir Locke, who was 22 years old. So, yes, ma'am, thank you so much for your time.
Well, I really appreciate you zeroing in on, it's interesting that you zeroed in on the no-knock warrant, and you gave us a very insightful history into it. And, you know, I was interviewed briefly today or yesterday on this case. And, you know, one of the things I mentioned is that a no-knock warrant, the way they are executed, it creates a violent confrontation, because it arouses the survival instinct in a person to its highest level. You know, to your point, you know, and they come into people's homes, you know, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., and you break into people's homes. I mean, imagine being awakened from your sleep while you're in somewhat of that daze in between the semi-consciousness and consciousness. And all you know are these loud sounds, and people are in with guns, you know, yelling at you. And they said that he was, you know, just shot a multitude of times, and he was shot within 10 seconds of them entering. Now,
yes, ma'am.
You're in an apartment. I think it was his cousin's apartment. He's asleep on the sofa under a blanket, but he had a license to have a gun, and he was sleeping with the gun. And so when all of this noise and you know, you're under attack from your instinct. You don't act on reasoning, you act on instinct. And so he turned around, but he isn't said to have, and there's a video of it, he had the gun in his hand, not because he was aiming at anybody, but because he was holding it. Well, see, there's two things here that we need to note as well about all of this, and we hear this over and over and over again. This is the same old song as the Four Tops used to sing. You know, our children are being murdered. Our husbands and fathers and sisters and daughters are being murdered. And this is one of the multitude of ways, as you just said, this is depopulation. We are not doing enough to avail ourselves of the knowledge and wisdom being given to us from Allah and His Christ through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because we seem to live as though we're compartmentalized, as though, you know, white people are somehow different when they are in different circumstances and environments. They may appear to be different, but at their core, they are identical. And everything Satan does has death at the center of it, you know, and so there's that point. And then the second point is every single day since the beginning of this pandemic, we have seen before our eyes and in our experience the perfection, the exquisite beauty, the divine wisdom of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Look at how to eat to live. We saw it in so much more depth since this pandemic and understand it with far more clarity. And the power of it is unquestionable. We were also taught not to possess or carry weapons. And in every one of these instances, that's what's used against the victim. They had a gun. Brittany Taylor didn't have a gun, but her boyfriend had a gun. He rightfully fired the gun. He rightfully fired it. But what we don't process is we're black. It does That's not right. apply. That's for white people.
That's right.
The right to protect where you live. Animals and fish and insects, they will fight you if you invade their territory. You can expect it. If you stick your hand in a beehive, trust and believe, they're going to do everything they can to take you out. They're not going to say, excuse me, may I help you? But it's only the black man and woman and child who have no right to protect ourselves. So he said, make your own community a safe and decent place to live. And there's no time to go into that tonight. Well, I guess it kind of is on topic because it does have to do with the immeasurable impact
That's
of the
right.
Honorable
yes,
Minister
ma'am.
Louis Farrakhan. Because trust That's and believe, if he had not stood up alone July 4th, 2020,
Come
and
on.
Told black people in America, Africa, and the Caribbean, and humanity, do not take that vaccine, we would be obliterated. Do we understand that?
That's right.
We can't measure the impact by our own individual reaction.
That's right.
Because it was tantamount to nothing. We think we're doing something. We're not doing anything.
That's
if
right.
somebody tells you don't step off the cliff, you're going to die, and you don't step off the cliff, that's you don't get accolades. The person that told you gets the accolades.
That's right.
You
that's
get
right.
your life.
That's right.
You're a recipient. You're not a giver. You're not a doer. You're a receiver.
That's right.
But what he put in motion that is not seen and appreciated is the pushback against the vaccination that has ultimately led to the end of this. The plans are still being sought to be implemented against us. But it's because of him that all of these scientists and doctors and activists in the white community,
come on,
got up and pushed back. Robert F. Kennedy has been out there, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. But what gave him the platform in the black community was when he joined with Minister Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam.
That's right.
And that had the effect, it's like a circular effect of us pushing them and them pushing us. But anyway, I didn't mean to go off.
No, beautiful, beautiful. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, praise be to Allah. So with that, unless you all have any more comments on, but you know, I cried. Not when I first heard about Amir, but when I was, in fact, I was talking with the final call, and they wanted some words. And after I hung up the call with my dear brother, Brian Muhammad, I just sat and cried for the first time since I heard it. Because when I first heard about it, which I think was last Friday, I think Friday night, my husband and I had CNN on, and Don Lemon was interviewing his parents. And attorney Ben Crump was with them. And at that moment, I had no feeling. I was just numb.
Yes.
And I'm staring at this name on the screen, A-M-I-R, Amir, and that's my grandson's name. And I'm just sitting there with, there was just nothing. I was just numb.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it took the discussion and talk with Brother Brian today to hit me on the level that it did today, more from the view of a mother, a grandmother, an aunt, a neighbor. You know, where I guess I was trying to avoid the connection, but We are connected, biologically connected. We're blood of one another's blood, flesh of one another's flesh. We're biologically blood relatives, but more importantly, we're spiritually a family. And I just wanted to open up with this comment about the minister. You know, before his teacher, after meeting with God himself in person, stood up in the middle of America and declared that, as he said, the most profound statement ever made. Four words: God is a man. And from there proceeded to begin to restore the broken black family. And then the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has expanded his father's message and teachings. And now we're seeing the fruits of it, where our children, they don't live with accepting being black. They are proud of being black.
Yes,
they just need direction. They're just a little off. Okay, but the one thing that has been erased are the innate feelings of inferiority. And this is why white people are horrified, because they see it, how much we love our melanated self. We love what we look like. We know that we determine the culture. We create culture. America would not have a culture if it were not for black people.
That's right.
They would just be some random white people.
That's right.
But anyway, let me get off the soapbox and let's get this party started. Happy Savior's Day.
Happy,
yes,
Savior's,
happy Savior's
Day.
Day.
And listen,
so for all
talk
of the,
about.
Yes,
yes, sir. Go ahead,
yes.
Brother Terry.
So for all of the listeners and callers, you know, and let me just say this, Dr. Ava, she welcomes the callers and everything that you want to bring up, that you want to say. She said this is a caller-driven kind of conversation. And I will just say this. For tonight, we don't want to not allow you to say anything. At the same time, we would like for you to, after I ask some questions of our sister, when we get ready to open up tonight, I want you to start thinking about what things you can think about and say about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on his immeasurable love and impact that he has on personally and worldwide. So tonight, you know, I was, as I said, Dr. Ava, you know, I came on this show with intrepidation, and I was like, ooh, I'm kind of nervous. And I come on here every Thursday night, no matter what part of the planet I'm on,
right,
you know, I'm like, yes. But this tonight, you know, I kind of let Dr. Ava know that tonight I wanted to ask questions just like brother, in the spirit of Brother Jibril Muhammad, when we in the book Closing the Gap. In Closing the Gap, he asked questions of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to get not just do an interview, but get an interview of the quality of heart of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So with that being said, tonight I want to go and ask, we didn't script this tonight. I didn't go down and call a bunch of people to get a bunch of questions and get a bunch of guests because Sister Pam said, hey, why am I not Sister Ava? And for 40 years, you have been walking and witnessing and bear witnessing to the beauty of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And when we talk about the immeasurable love, you know, I think about how we know love is duty. So I would just want to start, Dr. Ava, just in the title alone, the immeasurable love and impact of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. What does that title, what does that subject, what does that bring out of you just reading that first part? And we're going to go because I really want to hit in the 80s, the 90s, and where we are today as you have witnessed the minister in the 80s, in the 90s, in the 2000s, and the different things where you have seen his impact of love and his impact on our people. But what comes up in your mind when we read that the immeasurable love and impact of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan?
Oh, yes, sir. Well, you know, the when I look at that word immeasurable, which is such a it's a beautiful word in terms of the pronunciation, the way it flows, immeasurable. And I find that to be so in harmony with the minister's his heart and his persona that you just can't assign a value or to the impact he has had. I have never. Not only have I never witnessed one individual who has touched so many people, not only with the word, because we're probably now literally in the billions in terms of the word, but literally interacting face to face. And aiding people in real life. The number is countless. I cannot, sometimes we laugh, we'll laugh here at the council because we'll say, you know how you'll make a statement about somebody, you'll say, oh, Brother Terrence knows everybody. And Brother Terrence does know a lot of people, okay, for real. But when you say the minister knows everybody, that is virtually, literally true.
That's right.
I have known him to interact with people, and it just blows me away. It's not so much the person, it's that they know him on a personal level. I'm like, where does he find the time?
That's right.
And this is how you know he is what Dr. Ridgely calls the next level human being.
That's right.
I remember going up to the farm one time, right before the pandemic, and I forgot what I was there. Something, we're working on something, and we go in one of the little smaller places on the farm where you can have meetings, and you know, like a conference room is in there, and there's this little living area where you can sort of relax but also do business. And Brother Mustafa was there and a few other people. And, you know, in walks T.I. and his son.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's – and everyone that comes to a person. I remember walking and somebody was sitting outside with him. You know the little area, Brother Terrence, where the little canopy is and the chairs
yes,
are under there to protect you from the sun. And he's sitting
yes,
there
ma'am.
With Judge Mathis, you know. And, you know, whoever he's with, they're like, oh, some of them will know me because of him. Oh, Sister Ava, oh, I've seen you before, whatever. But I know
right.
Judge Mathis. I was at his reception when he got the TV show. But what is so beautiful and awe-inspiring is that, and you see white folks, black folks, you know, I walk in the National House in the middle of the pandemic, and
right.
all of these Caucasians are sitting around the table. You know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is there. Dr. Judy Mikovits, the renowned virologist who's been banned from everything like the minister and was a whistleblower against Anthony Fauci. These people are all sitting around him. And in every instance, the person or the people are in awe.
That's right.
And they are
That's
not
right.
there to talk. They are there to be taught. So I guess that's in my stumbling way, I'm saying about immeasurable. His impact
well, that,
is immeasurable, and his love is immeasurable. Yeah.
That, you know, I thank you for that, Dr. Ave. You started this conversation off very, very powerful, because one of the things that you said, there's no value to put on the impact. And one of the things that you made me think about, how can you put a value because the impact is still going on? It's almost like, how can you measure something to see the length or the power of it when it hasn't stopped doing? And, you know, we know that it's continuing, and we know the World Friendship Tour, the three times he ran around the world, and we saw the white Russians come out at the airport. We've seen the Durba in Nigeria. We've seen all of the festivals all across the world, over in Korea, just all of the things that the minister, as you said, not just in the United States is he known. He's known all over the world when people go, and they say, we remember the Million Man March. You know, when he talked to 5 million in person, 60 million in Iran after the Million Man March, the minister is known. And it also makes me think about Dr. Ava Birdman's Angie Martinez in New York radio personality. She was talking to Birdman, and Birdman said when he was in jail, he read the Bible because he didn't know nothing about the Bible. He came up in the streets. But when he learned about the Bible, he was like, Andy Martinez, you still read the Bible? He said, not necessarily spiritual, but he said, Minister Farrakhan is a mentor of mine. He said, Minister Farrakhan, and, you know, I got his number. He calls me and checks up on me sometimes. And she was like, wow, Minister Farrakhan, what is it that he has said to you? And this Birdman from Cash Money come up in the streets. He said, what was it that was so impactful that he said to you? He said, he called me, he said, I was a genius. Now, you understand a brother that didn't have no education, came out of jail, lived the street life, hustled, and he said when the minister called him a genius, came and blessed his house, came on his yacht, stayed for 2 days, he said the minister reached out to me and I came to Atlanta to see him, that he said he was going to be in Miami, that Birdman took that. You know, he took that. I remember seeing oh, I can't think of his name right now. It was a rapper who was in Atlanta and just stared at the minister, and tears was coming out of his eyes. And so it's stuff that you can't impact. But here's the thing that makes me think deeper, Dr. Ava. You said his persona, his it's almost like his conscience, and people listen. Some people don't always remember and know your story, but I want to ask a two-part question. Can you kind of give the healing power of the minister that you have witnessed not only in your personal life came in the nation under your condition, but the healing power that you may have come across that the minister has had on families or people that he has come in contact with? Because we're talking about the Messiah in our midst.
Yes, sir. And, you know, without specifically identifying individual persons,
yes,
and families, though I have seen it and know of it and have seen it, but this man's presence, his presence, has a profound impact on your state of health. I have literally... Let me put it like this. No matter what you feel like, now I'm not talking about your emotional state. I'm talking about your condition. Okay. Whatever you feel like, or you, whatever ailment, see, this is the real Jesus. You know, whatever ailment you're feeling, I have never been in his presence where I did not feel better. I'm talking about literally, physically, I felt better, healthier when I left him. When my mother was in her final days of life, she passed away from cancer. The minister called her on the phone. I was with him. And my family was with her on the other end, and I was going back and forth to visit to Columbus, Ohio, between Chicago and Columbus, you know, flying that little quick flight, but it was a horrible time. He wanted to talk to her, and she was very weak and could barely speak and couldn't hear very well because she was in the very advanced stages of terminal cancer. And the minister called her and he talked to her for a length of time, and he was speaking very quietly. And after he spoke with her, he hung up. And then later that day, my sister, Carol, and her husband told me, they said, after Minister Farrakhan talked to Mommy, she sat up in the bed and had a conversation with them. This is a light-giving son.
That's right.
To me, the same thing you get from that sun up in the sky that sends down its life, light, and heat, you get it from being in the presence of this man. Because remember, the sun didn't create us. Allah created the sun. And as we just went over in this incredible study course, I mean, who does all that he does and then in the meantime, under the guidance of Allah, puts out a 600-page study course for you so that you can engage in the process of resurrection. Oh, by the way, this is how you can raise yourself from the dead. While I'm fending off the enemy, fending off hypocrites, fending off the archenemy, U.S. government, dealing with our poor people and all that they need. And I, oh, by the way, I do have a family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not single and childless.
Right.
I mean, how do you do it? But anyway, it's somebody else's turn.
No. We like I said, this first part, and we know we're going to go to the caller, but I wanted to get some of these in here because,
yes,
I mean, these are – the thing about it, Dr. Ava, is that sometimes, and we've said this in lately on the show, is that we have jewels, we have those in our midst, and so it's like sometimes we need to stop and honor. Like you said, it's 40 years that you've been with the minister, so there's so much information. Sometimes we don't stop to take time to hear that. And what Dr. Ava says she wants to hear from the call is about your testimony, impact, and the immeasurable love of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as we're preparing for Savior's Day, February 27th, the Swan Song. And, you know, I can attest to that, Dr. Ava, being in the presence of the minister. Is one time I was in Tennessee, I was called up to his suite before he left, and I couldn't stop crying. And he said some words to me, and I just tear, just being in the presence. And I remember being at a Savior's Day, and you know, I'm on stage, and I'm backstage, and I felt like I was in church. And his words hit me where I felt, you know, I just felt the Spirit of God, the whole presence of God. And it's one of those things, Dr. Ava, it's like I grew up in a church, and we read about him, but it is almost sometimes monumentally scary to see that what you are reading, you're witnessing, like not like from afar, you're walking and you're seeing what you read, and you're seeing him carry out these things in circumstances that he didn't set up. When you see people come to the minister, reaching out to him, want to touch the hem of his garment, and I've said this before some years ago, we was leaving out of D.C., leaving out of the mosque, going straight to the car in the detail, and a brother was coming upstairs. And he was in tears crying, said, he's not going to do this. He was confessing his sins. He was confessing his sins. And it looked like a brother that just came off the street that we had invited into the mosque to hear the minister. And the minister said some words to him, but it was almost as the minister said, like, go sin no more. And, like, he touched him. And he didn't keep going and ignore the brother. The details moving him out. He stops just to acknowledge the brother, the least of them. And he touched his hands, and the brother just broke down crying.
Oh, my God.
And the minister So that it's those kind of stories that I know you have, and that's why I want to go back to when we talk about the immeasurable love and that the duty when you start talking about what he gave us, the study guides. I really – could you give us just the immeasurable – his work and his duty in the height of – like when we think about Madison Square Garden, death to Farrakhan. They outside, death to Farrakhan, but he was unstoppable. And his spirit was strong. And just to be around the minister, what was it like in the midst of, and still is, let's be very clear, it's not up. But, of course, there was a different atmosphere when we saw the blatant death cries to the minister, and he's traveling the country as he was back in the 80s, going here, crisscrossing, and he's under this death plot. But his work ethic to go teach the people was so – it's immeasurable.
It's immeasurable. Well, you know, again, this is such a wonderful time for all of us to, if you go in your poison book, the Bible in the New Testament, and just randomly pick out anything that is attributed to Jesus, the historical Jesus, anything he said, anything that's said about him, and then bring it forward and apply it to the minister, and you will see. And you just gave a beautiful, lifted something beautiful, Brother Terrence, you know, the least of these. Well, another one is, you know, in the world and not of it. Well, that's him. I mean, that is him to a T. When in the early days of the rebuilding, when we were in the final call building, a former funeral home on the corner of 79th Street and Emerald Avenue near Halsted, in the Auburn Grisham area of Chicago, which is the second highest rate of shootings and murders, you know, what people call the hood. This is like the epitome of it. And we're right there on the corner, and we're in this little building. And I was sharing with someone either yesterday or today, you know, Minister Farrakhan was our, in Chicago, was our local minister, okay? He's the national representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But remember, he's building the nation back up from nothing.
Right.
Nothing. So when we got a few hundred people out on a Sunday, it packed the final call building. Okay, all the way up to the third floor. And you have to understand the floor plan and layout to see how that worked.
Right.
But it was a very humble place. Many people that are with us now, they may not have even come in if we had been at that level. If they had encountered the nation in that stage, many people would have thought it was beneath them. Like we were like some little storefront church type of place.
Wow.
So I say all that to say, 1984, which is the year I arrived there from New York, was the year that the cocoon burst open. I wasn't there in 82 or 83 when the minister, with his own money from speaking engagements, purchased the final call building. So by 84, they're pretty settled in, and I come in, and what I walk into is this little beehive of activity, and the minister is teaching. He's teaching at the final call. Now, remember, he's our local minister. And so you're walking by the minister like brushing against him. In some instances, because some of the rooms were so little, every day you're seeing him. Mother Khadijah is like the finance person, okay? And then we had Brother Wahid. Brother Wahid was the secretary, the actual mosque secretary. But Mother Khadijah was also working on all the accounts and helping them. Sister Donna, Sister Maria Farrakhan was the processing department.
Wow. So department.
I was his administrative assistant. Okay, I'm sitting out at this little desk in front of his office at a typewriter. And I'm setting up speaking engagements with these colleges and things of that, handling his schedule, things of that nature. Lou Myers, our late beloved brother, was the attorney, and I would sometimes help him with cases. Our late genius soldier editor of The Final Call, Brother Wali Muhammad. Okay. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, the supreme captain. Okay, this is what's taking place, what we're evolving into. And then it happened. Reverend Jackson wanted to run for president, and you all know the rest is history. And that's what pushed the minister out into the forefront. And so he came out embroiled in controversy. But what I want to be understood, if you look back and go pull up old film of him speaking in 85, because, it was Reverend Jackson that caused the confrontation with the Jews and all that. Not caused it, but it was the minister's protection of him that brought them down on the minister. And unlike the Negroes, the minister, when they hit him, he hit back.
That's right. Did he?
Okay. And whoa. And we were kind of different then, in the sense that we were like guerrilla soldiers, very, very fight oriented. Okay. I remember one time a gun went off outside the building one night. I think we were working on something for Savior's Day or one of our events, because back then everything was paper. Nothing was digital. There's no such thing. Promotions for Savior's Day was the FOI out in the freezing snow, hanging
Teach.
Posters, okay,
Teach.
And passing
Teach.
Out flyers. Okay, there was nothing digital. Okay, no internet, no social media platform. Okay, we were on the radio. And we did flyers and mail outs. Can you believe that? The snail mail. He would write letters and we would mail them to people's houses and say, come to Savior's Day. Okay, so so one night we're in there, and the final call was always, it was never empty. People were always there. Not just the staff, but the believers. They would just come there to hang out and be around other believers. But one night we hear a gunshot go off. And who runs down the street? First one running out is the minister. Toward where the shots were fired from. And those were my days of wearing the crazy high heel shoes, because, I was young and all. And I had to kick my shoes off to chase him. And then, of course, the minister, he never made it out the building because the brothers stopped him. Like, no, sir, please, God, no. But he was just always up for a fight. And it kept us in fighting shape and in fighting mode. We never ate during the day. There's no such thing as somebody walking around with a bag of potato chips or a muffin, or chewing in your ear on the phone. The Muslims do not eat. Okay, we eat 1 meal a day back then, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Ramadan was real, okay?
Right,
the national
right.
fast was real. You know, everybody's slim and trim and jumping over fences and doing all this kind of stuff. And I remember the brother Khalid took the FOI on an outing into some housing projects. And, I mean, it was like 100 FOI. And they were out there with the paper and drilling. And somebody came up, some crackers from some little local news station. They came over to ask questions about the FOI. Because once we were exposed, then we were just out there. You know, once Reverend Jackson's campaign brought it, because that led to New York and Power at Last Forever, because
right.
underground, the minister was trying to build an economic base with the
mm-hmm.
with these hygiene products. So anyway, they asked Khalid, they said, well, what are you going to do if somebody fires at you out of a window that you don't see? And so Khalid said, if somebody fires out of a window at us, we're going to go up in that building. And we're going to go. And you picture him. You know how he talks and how he
oh,
looks.
Oh, my God,
people.
Yes. Yes.
We're going into the building, and we're going through it door by door.
Literally, yes.
Until we find the culprit. And then we're
mm-hmm.
going to follow the natural law of Islam when we find him, okay, or them. But while all this is going on, the minister's just, he's doing FOI class. He's doing Wednesday night, Friday night, teaching on Sunday. You know, he came back from New York. 25,000 people in Madison Square Garden, 1985.
Right.
25,000 more black people outside who couldn't get in. He came back from that. You know how arrogant somebody would be after that?
Right.
And think
come
they
on.
Had arrived?
Right.
He came back to the Final Call building and taught classes and just continued. He had like two or three suits, inexpensive suits, that he constantly alternated. You know, he and Mother Khadija came to the office in the mornings. So that's the point of being in the world but not of it. So while he's out, you know, he'll go out. It's like we were in this world, this heavenly world, in this little building, because it was just love and peace and joy and being fired up. And then when we would go outside into the wilderness with the dragons and the beast and the animals, you know, you go out, you fight a couple of battles, and then you come back in. And then Mas Mariam became available in 1988. And in a period of about 3 months, 3 or 4 months, the believers raised $2 million in cash. Now, that's it. That's in 1988 dollars.
Come on. Right,
I mean,
right.
You have to multiply that for inflation today. And we didn't have anything.
Right.
Because even those of us who were professionals and all that, we didn't have any money because we walked away. See, in those days, you walked away from the world. You didn't go back and forth between this and that. You were either with Muhammad or you were with the devil. Ooh. But I couldn't be in the nation and keep being an assistant district attorney.
Wow.
So
wow.
You walk away from that. But anyway, that's a 20-minute answer to that.
No, no, no. So let me say this, Dr. Ava, and let everybody be very clear. Dr. Ava, this is her show, and she will let us know what next week will be. But I'm seeing Brother Terrence speaking, just Brother Terrence. This is not the official statement for Elevated Places, but I'm seeing a part two next week before our Savior's Day show. I'm seeing a part two. Here's why I say that, Dr. Ava, because what you laid out, and we're getting to go to the callers because I'm looking at the time because I literally just want to go this whole show listening to you because I think a lot for this show, and I thank Sister Pam for even allow putting in her mind to even have you talk because me, like I said, I didn't pre-script the questions, but what you just laid out is so monumental because what people don't realize is that we know about the quote-unquote Farrakhan prior to 75, you know, him having the holes in his shoes, you know, going behind the restaurants and getting food and, you know, and just the suffering that he suffered, him and Mother Khadijah prior to 75, you know, helping the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, not having anything. So when 1980s come and you're telling me that he had 2 to 3 suits that he alternated, that, like, I don't people think understand. Madison Square Garden was huge. He said, what do you think will happen to me? What do you think will happen if anything happened to me? And the crowd erupts. And you got to go. For those that haven't seen Madison Square Garden 85, that's one of the staple lectures of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that you have sisters surrounding him. That is classic. And people don't know that they tried to. There was smoke that didn't come into the room. There was a fire alarm that was going to get pulled. There was people outside saying death to Farrakhan. That's a classic. But he came back, Dr. Ava, to hear, because I've never heard this, that he came back after that and went back to work as though, like, I'm going there for a class. I'm going to Wednesday night meeting. I'm going to Friday meeting. And we just in a little corner building that, like, nobody really paying us no mind. We in the hood. And I just need people need to understand that those work efforts of the minister was so phenomenal that when you said we didn't have digital, I remember the Million Man March in 95. That's 10 years later. And we going door to door, putting up posters out in the middle of the night, FOI class, putting up posters, posters getting taken down. You couldn't just reshare something. We had to literally go get more posters and put them back up. We literally were driving believers to D.C. from Greensboro, North Carolina, 4.5-5-hour trip to the Phi Beta Sigma headquarters to have sisters go into the phone. They had phone lines to make calls to people to come to the Million Man March. There was literal work.
Landlines.
But here's the thing about it, Dr. Ava. Here's the thing about it. We know and we heard about the minister's work prior to 75 and all he did, and then you're talking about the 80s. But here's what I want people to understand. I remember the Millions More Movement. The minister did, I think it was the leadership, it was either a press conference or a leadership meeting first. He did like a press conference, then he taught the leadership, then he came back that night and talked to masses. He did 3 conversations in a day. Then he met with people after the lecture in his suite to talk to them, got on the road and did the exact same thing in another city. I remember when it was heard that the minister said he had chronic fatigue, meaning that he was walking off the spirit of Allah because the body had already shut down, but he was still moving. And I want people to be clear, 60 decades are not 60 decades of vacations, relaxation, constant work. And like you said, Dr. Ava, he's always teaching. When you're in his presence, he's always teaching. So, I mean, I'm just thankful for this blurb, and I'm going to call it a blurb because it's so short, and I know you got so much that you can just give, and I just want to respect your show because I know you want to hear from the callers. But what you just dropped, Dr. Ava, was – priceless.
Praise be to Allah.
Yeah, It's priceless. My phone is blowing up, and I can't check my message yet. But it's like I want to ask one more question, but I want to pause it, and that's why I said it needs to be a part two, because the reason why I thank Sister Pamela for this is because sometimes as Brother Jabril pulled out of the minister and I asked him certain questions, certain things will come out of you from being around the minister that sometimes we don't remember. Because I didn't know, like you said, people don't know that in like 84 before Jesse Jackson, we were just, you know, we was in a cut. You know, we was in a cut.
Right.
Until the situation, because he was, he was building, when we say underground, but then the mass media, you got to remember, the mass media came because why? Jesse Jackson was running for president. And the significance about
exactly.
that is that all the media was covering him for presidency
yes.
as a black man.
Exactly right.
And now Farrakhan gets into mm-hmm. that media cycle, which blasts him
exactly
everywhere.
Happened, that's right.
And that's profound out there, Ava.
No, that's it.
Man.
Yes, sir.
So let me just ask this question. Anything else you want to say, or do we want to go ahead and just open up the lines?
Yeah, I think we should open up the lines before
okay.
people have, you know. and then let's start with at the top, Sister Ula.
All
we
right.
might be in trouble with her. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ula.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Oh,
can you hear
me? Yes, ma'am.
Uh-oh.
I was almost there, sister. I love listening to you, but unfortunately, you got a relaxation, a voice that relaxes me, and I've been up since 3:50 this morning, so you know where I'm going with this, but I do believe that justice has been served with this incident with this young brother. It's awakening the masses of the people all over the planet Earth that is who Satan really is. This is opening up their eyes.
Yes, ma'am.
And governments are complaining about the abuse, like the president of the Philippines was very angry at this George Floyd incident. And it just goes on and on and on, you know. So I thank you for letting me share. And inshallah, I pray he continue to bless you, Sister Ava. Love you and your family. And Brother Terrence, you're all right. Just keep doing what you're doing, you know.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, there you go, little flight attendant. Assalamu alaikum.
Wow.
Alaykum
salam, beloved. And thank you for your kind words and encouragement. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Brother Terrence.
No, I just, you know, my spirit just, you know, it reminds Brother Ishmael when the spirit came on him the other night, but the spirit is coming on me like, what you just laid out is so beautiful, and, you know, and like I said, on behalf of Sister Ava, she wants you to express your views. And I also want you just to add your comments about the immeasurable love and impact of the minister. And I'm saying that because we wouldn't be on this show if it wasn't for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. People wouldn't have had this platform to even share if it wasn't for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Myself and Dr. Ava can attest that we wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So we want, and I'm just asking, I'm imploring you, please share, because I know that you got a story, you got a voice. You know, we're not having like a whole night for you to tell, but just touch on something that you know that the minister, about his immeasurable love and impact on your life, or something that you have seen as the callers are calling in.
You're telling the callers that, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I just want to let the callers know we love the information
let them
that they
know,
bring.
Yes, what we're looking for tonight. Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. All right. Well, here's somebody that I'm sure can do that, and that is Brother
right.
Hoyle.
Oh, yes,
I
sure am. I'm going to do that, Brother Terrence, and Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ava, and Sister Pamela, and Sister Donna, all the powerful crew. I'm going to give you a little story. When the minister first started up, Sister Ava, he would come to Memphis. And my father taught this minister, his name was, may Allah be pleased with him, Bob Kareem. They call him Bob Sugley Bob. He would stay at Brother Bob's house, him and his wife, may Allah be pleased with her. They would stay at their house, and I was real good friends with Mr. Bob Kareem's son. His name was Brandon, and he had two other daughters that went to Germantown High School. So one day we were hanging out, and I go over to Brandon's house, and he said, well, my dad's got some guests over there, and Minister Farrakhan, this is in the 80s, you know. And I said, who's Minister Farrakhan? I heard about him, you know. Oh, he's in there. You want to meet him? And I said, no, I didn't know because I didn't really know, you know. And he was in the living room, and I was like, and I felt. And
oh, my God.
And I didn't even know, you know, this was before I was a little fool out there partying and stuff, you know. So I said, well, lo and behold, Allah, I'm one of, you know, striving helpers. But I got some, you know, and I'm like, wow, you know, and we were eating pizzas and stuff like that. So, you know, but, you know, I tell that story, and but I got some fire. I'm glad Brother Terrence brought that up. It's a powerful family. Go read this lecture. It's right on time for what you're talking about, Brother Terrence. It's this latest edition, Farrakhan the Traveler. Now, listen to this, mm-hmm. y'all. This is the last two paragraphs. And listen, Brother Terrence. It says, if you mentally disconnect him from God, you can't see him properly. Then you cannot benefit from his work as you should or could. If you do not mentally connect him to God, you are bound to stumble and fall. Now listen to this, y'all. The minister is more than just connected to the Word of God. He is rooted in the Word of God. He
yes.
is absolutely an integral part
Come
of
on.
The storyline yeah. or narrative of your Bible. To continue to be ignorant of this reality is to be headed for a fall. This is not to say that we cannot get up. However, such a fall could be fatal. Again, to disconnect yourself or to fail to learn the relationship of Minister Farrakhan to Christ and the God of creation is to disconnect yourself from a major aspect of reality at the very least or from God or the source of the reality at worst. I'm dropping the mic on that one. Now, woo, that hit it. That hit the nail on the head right there. Whew. But Sister Ava, thank
That's
you
right.
for your testimony. Wow. Brother Terrence, you're right.
Praise be to Allah.
I mean, you know, and I want to say this before I go. Just doing security work with the minister, I never forget. We were up in this room, and he would come out, and the brothers would do the diamond, and you know, and he saw me, and it was just in his presence was healing. You know, you could just see the light. You could just feel his aura. And he nodded his head at me, and I nodded my head. I was like, I was like the happiest person in the world, you know. But, you know, just to do work, security work for him, just to be a helper of his is just is healing.
Yes,
you know,
that is
so
priceless.
I just,
so
I think. I think Allah has the right mind, and I think Allah has the right mind, and all the believers that are listening, just helping the minister. You help yourself. And anytime, like Brother Ishmael
yes,
said, think about the living God. Think about Christ. Think about the minister when we pray, you know. So we're really lucky. But thank you, Sister Ava, for giving that testimony. And thank you, Brother Terrence and Sister Pamela, for bringing that up. This is beautiful. I'm going to sit back and let somebody else talk. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, I just want to say, yes, sir, just real quick, Brother Hoyle, though, I enjoyed
yes,
that. I'm laughing. Well, this Minister Farrakhan sitting there, you want to meet him? Nah, it's all right.
Yeah, because I didn't really know You know, I'm like, who is this?
No,
then,
no, but that is,
scared,
but that's,
you know?
That's the innocence of Black people. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Now the whole world is at his door. It's supposed to now. Somebody,
yeah, because
that's right.
You know, and we, you know, me and Brandon were out riding around and stuff, and you know, we were playing ball and stuff like that, and I don't want to meet anybody. I'm like, you know how it is. You're young, and you know his father.
Exactly.
And,
you don't
know,
right?
Yeah, and it was real dignified in the living room, and I didn't want to be looking like Who Shot John walking in there. It's my friend Hoyer. right now, I don't care. I love it. Yeah, all praise is due to Allah.
Thank you.
But,
all right.
That's
forever and ever.
My
story. Thank you, beloved.
All right. Thank you, sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam. All right.
Sister Ava.
We've got our sister. Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to say, you know, when I'm listening to you all, it's so beautiful. And what I think about is what the minister has done for me, you know, personally as well as for the world, because, you know, I didn't really think much of myself. I didn't know who I was. And even to have gone through law school, you know, I didn't know nothing. And so when we look at the big, far-reaching impact of the minister on worldwide affairs and how he explains to us, like,
yes,
what's hidden, like you were talking about him sitting at the table with these doctors and scientists. And to me, it's like he giving people what they don't know because it's hidden, and he has the ability to uncover, discover, and then communicate to us so we know which way to go. So when you're talking about resurrecting, raising ourselves from the dead, you know, I just want to thank Allah forever and ever for the minister's presence in my life, because and this one quote I saw in an article, the minister said, when you are not man or woman enough to run your own affairs, you live under somebody's dictates other than your own. And, you know, we didn't even know how to run our own affairs. I didn't even know the Black community, we suffer from not knowing how to live and how to think. And so he gives us that from all that work that you described and all the sacrifice and the suffering and his family's impact. So I just wanted to say that. And I wanted to share my small story. So the time that I got a chance to shake the minister's hand, one of the times.
Yes, ma'am.
You know what? He was shining, okay? I had this, like, experience where I saw the light. So I got close. The light was kind of overpowering. And next thing I know, I was on the other side of the light. So I don't know what happened. But, you know, I know he is a man of God. And I just thank Allah, you know, for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So I want to share that. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
No,
I had
that
same experience with
shining. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Shining. Yeah, that's what the sun does, you know. So that's powerful testimony. All right, we've got forever and ever, beloved. We've got Sister Peggy on the line, and she has a comment.
Assalamu alaikum and happy Savior's Day, family.
Well,
happy
Savior's Day to you.
Okay, thank you. I have 10 that I can tell you about, and honest, it's not going to take me any more than 90 seconds to list.
Oh, take your time. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Number one, he raised the nation. He raised the nation, and then he reminded the world of just how high the Black man could actually rise. And number two, he ignited the interest in prostate cancer, especially among Black men, with his journey through prostate cancer and how to eat to live. He fostered a higher degree of self-understanding through the self-improvement guides and mandating that we attend Friday study groups. And he reminded the world that the best treatment of the woman is the standard by which nations are judged to be civilized. He fostered the idea of responsibility for improving our own neighborhoods and communities with the 10,000 fearless. He raised the awareness for not trying to fix this system because it's not broken. It's designed the way it's done the way the Caucasian designed it. But he's pushed us to buy territory of our own and separate. And he also, by providing powerful and original leadership during this pandemic that is not only aligned with how to eat to live, but aligned with the needs of our people. And I'm talking about when the sisters made those 20,000 masks for people for free and passing out books on health and taking care of the home and so forth. And he made friends at home and abroad for us in relation to improving our mental and physical health. And I talk about making friends with the Scientologists and getting us to practice Dianetics and making it possible for students in the nation to go to Cuba and come back with their medical degree and being there for the people. And he fostered a wider understanding of how Islam is practiced in the Nation of Islam in relation to the Sunnah of Muhammad. And the example that I'm going to give is Brother Abdulallah Muhammad presented a lecture on how to eat to live, and in it he talked about fasting and how Muhammad fasted at times other than Ramadan, like on the Monday and the Thursday, the every other day, and I think for the three-day fast too. And that's what I have, but I'm sure this is impact is much, much, much greater, but that's what I can write for the moment. And I thank you for allowing me to give my opinion.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Oh, praise be to Allah.
Oh, man.
And you know, each person brings, all of this bears witness to that term immeasurable, because what Sister Peggy brought, some of the things she had in there, your mind can't grasp all in one sitting.
That's
or
right.
Even really in a
That's
lifetime.
Right.
All that he does. See, what she just said about sending our students to Cuba.
That's right.
To become medical doctors.
Doctors.
In this island nation, their healthcare system is either the highest or one of the highest rated in the world.
Come on.
In the world. And that's with all that this big bully beast, the United States, has done to them for 70 years. And yet still, they are world renowned for their medical system. And just that one thing. And you know what it brings to mind? Like sometimes I watch, I mean, I'm not around him that much anymore like I was when we were doing the study guides, which is another thing. You come to the realization that you occupy a facet of his reality. You understand what I'm saying? It's like,
right.
You're a facet of this multifaceted genius's life, okay? But when he's focused on that facet of his life, he gives it 100% of his attention. So if it's the violin, it's 100%. You know, if it's the study guides, it's 100%. Okay?
That's right.
If it's focusing on health care and getting our students into that medical system. I mean, who is able to think like that? And then he has this incredible knowledge. He knows automobiles. He knows farm machines.
Yes.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? It's endless. It's endless.
It is.
And he's artistic, and everybody, you can see his exquisite taste in fashion.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
he will tell you. Yeah, you walk in a room and whatever's not right, he'll let you know. You know, that's not good for you wearing that. You know.
Mm.
I've had people tell me he told them that's not your color. You know.
And he can see.
It's
he has
like
sight.
How. Right. How do you have all these areas of expertise and insight? But let me get back to the phones. We have Sister Marguerite who has a comment.
Oh, yeah. Happy Savior's Day, brothers and sisters. And
happy
I'm really enjoying this. You caught me in mid-stand. But Dr. Ava brought up some of the old things that happened in the 80s and had me laughing because we know the minister things that some things have been done to the minister publicly that all he had to do was say sick him. And these people wouldn't be breathing today. But through him and how he handles these people, you know, it's taught me we have to love our people more than they hate themselves, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said.
That's
and
right.
some of these
Say
people
it.
Need to be thanking the minister today because I remember when we were in that stage, Dr. Ava, we would have killed concrete, as Brother Khalid used to say.
That's right.
That's right.
But for his patience and his love, his just never-ending love, it just has always blown me away. But it has been my example because I came up in a house full of roughnecks, you know, and our answer to everything
yes,
was
ma'am.
To knock somebody out.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
I have learned to deal a little more diplomatically. I'm still ready to
yes,
knock somebody
ma'am.
Out, though. But you got to keep that part of you, you know, you got to keep that part of you nourished too, because that time is going to come. We're going to need that. But he has been a 40-year example. Yes.
That's
of,
right.
Of love and patience and long suffering. It's just incredible. So he, and I look at him, he is a walking miracle. In our sight.
Yes, he is.
Because there's
in
no
our
way
sight.
He should be living.
Look at it. That's
what
right.
What is that scripture? There's a wonder in our sight. How does that scripture go, Brother Terrence?
Oh, you got me. I lost it. I hear what you said. I can't remember. You froze me.
That
up
he is
that.
A wonder in our sight. He is definitely that. Because he should not, they thought they killed him, but they did not. All praises is due to Allah.
That's
thank
right.
You, Dr.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. That was beautiful. Well, see, everybody brings something we hadn't covered yet. And
oh,
we're just
right.
this little program just, you know, with a few of us just getting, just touching on what we're either we've experienced or we've witnessed from afar. And that's the other thing about him. He's someone you can know up close and personal, but you're aware that this is someone light years ahead of you. And I feel sorry for anyone that doesn't experience him like that. If you're not aware, just like Sister Marguerite just said, he's a walking miracle. He shouldn't even be here at this point after all that has happened to him and all that his people have tried to do as well. But it's as Brother Minister Jabril tries to teach us about gaining the ability to see the divine and the human in a single being. That's what spookism destroyed. It destroyed our ability to see God in a man. So we were given someone put right in our midst who could do all these miracles, because that's what he does. He walks around doing what the Christians call miracles. He's the real Jesus, and if you see that, you're special. You're special if you see it. Okay,
that's right.
But let me get Brother Darryl
and Dr. Ava. No. Okay.
Yes, sir. Well, let's do Brother Darryl, and then we'll
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, like Salam, all praises due to Allah. I finally made it on after 3 Thursdays. I keep getting knocked off. I don't know what happened. Have I did anything wrong?
No, we got to talk the blog talk. We love you, Brother Darryl. Welcome back on the show.
Praise be to Allah. Happy Savior's Day, Sister Ava and Brother Terrence. Sister Ava, you took me way back, and I know for the sake of time, you just brought back memories after the nation fell and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad departed from us, and you took me back when you talked about the Final Call building. When we were all, we didn't have what we have now, I remember we was all called from Detroit, and we had to do letters, and they were showing us how to fold it, where the crest would show, and we did over hundreds of letters. And I remember at that time, Brother Frank, Supreme Captain, then from there, Brother Khaled, then from Khaled to Brother Sharif, then Mustafa as today. So you just took me way back to see the history of what we have went through to watch this nation come back up with the blessing of Minister Farrakhan, and through his words of telling us not to take that shot, even though some of us took it and our family and our people. But just think, if he wouldn't have said it, it probably would be in the close to the 3 million that they are trying to depopulate. So all praise is due to the minister for him stepping up and speaking. But to our brother that was shot and killed, hard go out to that family, because we don't realize, like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, don't carry much as a penknife. You think because you got a permit, you say that's your death warrant to have that permit. They don't want you to have it, but that's an excuse to use it to shoot you, because now you got a gun on you. But you don't see that happening in the white community. When are we going to wake up? You don't see them kicking the doors in and doing no warrant, not, and going in on white folks. They're going, doing it right in the black community, and we are the ones that's falling for that crap, thinking that we are protecting each other because we have a gun and it's doing nothing but getting you killed. But, you know, for the sake of time, I love you all. May Allah continue to bless you all, and happy Savior's Day, and looking forward to see you all Savior's Day. As-salamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Darryl. Beautiful comments. All right, we have...
Yep. Oh.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brother Terrence, because you were going
to... No. I was... No, I just wanted to jump back in here and to bear witness to the part that you said. It kind of blew my mind when you said it, the how you can get to know him as a person but also recognize his divinity. And what came to my mind, flashback, was Aretha Franklin's funeral and watching the minister when all of the people were before the funeral started. He was going up to T.D. Jakes, and he was just so happy to see T.D. Jakes and hug him, and he was so happy, you know, see Jesse. He was so happy to see Reverend Barber. He was talking to him. I got pictures of him talking, and he was just so happy. I mean, he was just so happy. He was just, like, in awe seeing his brothers and sisters and them coming up to greet him. He was just, like, he literally has this overwhelming, genuine love, and he's just so happy to see folks. And we like, but you're the Messiah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you are the divinity, you are the divine one. But this love that I see, he's like genuine love. Like, so we may say, no, Menace, you sit down, let them come to you and let them know who recognize who you are. But he didn't just have them come over to where he was. When he saw them, he walked onto the other side to go across the stage to go talk to them, to speak to them. And that's the love of the minister when he sees his brother, when he sees his sister, and he's literally happy. And not only for those that are quote-unquote stars, but he loves to see those that are young, because when the rapper sit in front of him, he's talking to him, and he loves them as though I have to teach my children, my those that I love, and we sit in the room like, yo, that's such and such, that's such and such, that's such and such. But the minister just sees people that is his mission and his work. And it's just a beautiful thing when you said that, to see the humility of this human being who is divine.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. All righty. Well, we're down to we're less than about 4 minutes, and we've got to give 90 seconds of that to Brother Mark. As-salamu alaykum. Happy Savior's Day, Brother Mark.
And happy Savior's Day to you too, my beautiful sister, and Big Black Torrance and others. All praises due to Allah. Sister Ava, I'm going to be quick. Can be those 90 seconds you gave me. But, you know, when you were mentioning those 80s, I came around in the 80s out in L.A. And we were definitely fearless.
Sir.
We just had a fighting type spirit about us. But with Honorable Louis Farrakhan, I always knew something. His presence just made, I never could get common with him. I never would try to get common with him because his presence and his aura was so magnificent that you know, only a fool could get common with him. And I don't want to be that fool. But the minister is just so merciful. He's the best friend his enemies have, Sister Ava. Because like the sister had previously said, if the minister gave the word, that's your A-double-S, you know, basically. If, you know, if he wanted to get rid of his enemies. But he has a love that he tries to save all of us, even his enemies. He tries to give them a way out. But all praise is due to Allah. But two things I want to mention. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the times I got to meet him, he called me a soldier one time, and that you can never take from me. And one time a brother who missed his post, missed the post of being the minister thanked me and told me, may Allah bless me and my family. Those two things you will never be able to take away from me, regardless how I might be or shortcomings I have. With Jesus telling me that, sister, I have that in my history and my record. And I can pass it on to my children and grandchildren that I was with Jesus, the real Jesus, not the one that my brother Horace was standing on me at the time. But if it was that white Jesus, my brother Horace would have ran in there and meet that Jesus. I'm just messing with him, sister. But he would have met that white Jesus. But that's my brother Horace. But Honorable Louis Farrakhan is the Jesus in our midst. And may we all have a happy Savior's Day. And get with Minister Farrakhan and pray to Allah that we don't punk out on him and punk out in this day and time. As-salamu alaykum. Happy Savior's Day, family.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Happy Savior's Day.
Happy Savior's Day to you. All right. Oh,
wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Yeah, we there. We there.
Oh, my God. That time went by. I guess we will have to have a part two and those who we were unfortunately not able to get to tonight to hear their beautiful comments, would you please call in next week and we'll make a point of getting to all of our callers, especially since I've done a lot of talking at this point. And I thank you, Brother Terrence, for those beautiful questions because you made me recall and remember and appreciate. And I can't thank you enough for that. So thanking you, my co-host. Thank you, Sister Pamela Muhammad, our legal contributor. Thank you, Sister Donna Muhammad, who is sitting in and doing a wonderful job of handling the screen for Sister Rona. And to all of you, may Allah bless us all with love and the light of understanding. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.